morning. Well, my presentation is very spontaneous, so it will be spontaneous. I just prepared just before coming here. What Dr. Cerqueira asked me to present is a little bit about the health promotion strategies in the academic setting, specifically schools and universities. So I will present a little bit of this this area. I want to say that there are no relationships to disclose that we were asked to do this for this year presentations. Dr. Cerqueira mentioned different risk factors that are associated with this different security and violence. I would like to identify some for the younger age groups. And these are based on the Global School Health Survey that is being done through WHO and CDC. This data from 2004, but I just want to identify on the left side what are some of the risk factors that are identified for this the young age group. The use of alcohol, early sexual activity, physical fights, not only in the school environment, but also in the surrounding at the schools. Bullying in the U.S. is a big issue, but I think it has been extended worldwide. And actually, they use the same word. I was surprised even when I read in Spanish. There is no Spanish words. Yeah, so they are, the trend has extended worldwide. And also, another risk factor has been identified as thoughts of suicides. I also like to look from the health promotion aspects. I like to identify what are called protective factors. And for this global school-based surveys, they identify these elements. For example, missing class. This is written in the negative format, but I want to look at the positive format. A positive factor would be not missing classes. So if someone is missing classes, then that could be looked as a risk factor. The same thing, having social support from classmates, from parents, from the community in general. A child or a young woman that is basically alone could be identified as a risk factor. But the supportive factor is to have those social networks that young person is not alone to address issue for their age group. And also what is being looked at as parental role with younger children and adults. So I would like to, if you can think of this as both risk factor and support factors to take into account when I talk about in my next slides. I would like to identify what, I like to define health promotion because it is a little bit of confusion between health promotion and prevention. So health promotion, which was defined in the, which is defined in the Ottawa Charter, if you all recall 1986, health promotion is viewed as the process, and I underline a process, of enabling people to increase control over and to improve their health. In other words, it's not an intervention that is given to, but it's having a participatory approach and the person empower itself, herself, himself, to take control of their life within their own paradigm because we all have different paradigms to address. I also like to define health education. So when I talk about health education, you will know what I'm talking about. Larry Green, Cruder, Dees, and Partridge in their 1983 book. Define health education as any design combination of methods to facilitate voluntary adaptation of behavior conducive to health. And again, the key word is this voluntary adaptation, voluntary willingness to accept this responsibility to have to adapt healthy behaviors. There are two initiatives, and I want to say I'm a former PAHO employee. I'm independent consultant now. When I was at PAHO, I was leading this two initiatives, which were basically the Health Promoting Schools Initiative and the Health Promoting Universities Initiatives. These are initiatives that are ongoing in both settings, in both academic settings. And they're basically strategies to strengthen health promotion and health education, where the children, young people, adults, parents, teachers, and other members of the academic communities live, learn, work, and play. As you know, the school in the U.S. Is a large percentage of the day, the children are in school. The same thing at university. So these are niches for developing a healthy, using the healthy setting approach, and to give them the knowledge, but also the skills. And we have here an expert in life skill training who is going to speak after me. So I'm not going to address life skill training very much, only to mention that it's part of this this initiative. What I'm going to address now is a conceptual framework that was developed for the Health Promoting Schools initiative. And it was presented and adopted and in 2003, yeah. I wasn't born at that time. And in 2003, PAHO, the regional office at WHO, presented this conceptual framework in, to the countries, and most countries of the Americas were represented, and they adopted this, and it was voted to adopt it. So I'm going No, but it was presented. Remember when we had the meeting in Washington that all the people from the countries came and it was approved, the plan? Yeah, in May 2003, that's when it was presented as a, as an idea, and it was accepted. So this plan, how many of you know a little bit of health promotion, what health promotion is, and all of you? So you know that we can go back to Greece, to the gods, Asclepius and Hygieia. They were talking about this health promotion, more Hygieia than the goddess of health, more the Esculapius, Asclepius, whatever you want to call him. But in 1986, they had computers already, so it was very easy to put it in black and white, and we start writing, so it has, it's documented now. So we refer generally to the Ottawa Charter. And I like to refer even before that to the Alma Mater, to the primary health care, and that was 1978. So if we look at, and I use those documents and then forward to the different meetings, as what I call the declarations and international guidelines, I provide the scientific background for this whole health promotion concept. So when this conceptual framework then looks at this international declaration, but also looks at the context and experiences of the, be at the region, if you look in a regional strategic plan, at the national level, if you do a national plan, or a local level, if you do a strategic planning at the local level. So it's very important to look, to do a true needs assessment in what is happening. Also very important is to look at what's happening between health and education. In when we look at the school level, the health, of course, is the Ministry of Health of each country. And they think they possess this because the World Health is there. But we're working in the school environment, so it's education. So the Ministry of Education has to be involved. And for this conceptual framework to be effective, there has to be at least a working relationship between those two sectors. But the model also encourages to have other sectors. And Dr. Cerqueira referred to this violence issue. And if you looked at all sectors that are involved in there, I mean, the police, the judicial system, the tourism system, because of the frontier between the U.S. And Mexico. So all these other sectors are very important to take into account. Then it's important, involve. You have to, you build and then you disassemble and you build again. It's, and then another part that is very important is not to start from scratch. And I call it reinventing the wheel. And we humans are very good at that. You know, we need to be recognized. You know, there's this, all we have this inner sense of being recognized. So instead of saying what was done there and to construct dividend knowledge, which is really what happens in the sciences. You know, if you do science, if you work in the hard sciences, you don't, I mean, you know, unless you are, you come up from Mars and you start a whole new thing that we don't know anything here. But basically, you know, there's a lot that has been done. And it's very important to look at what has been done and build from there. So we really believe in the conceptual framework believes in that. And what is also very important in this second part is to look as science, as a research. And Dr. Cerqueira also showed in this, was one of the first slides, to look at research of those risk factors. And I would encourage there to also look at support factors. As a, to identify which one are support factors. So, but also there are models. I mean, I can spend a whole day just talking about different models for the, adapting different behavior, maintaining those behaviors, which is the most difficult. So the health promotion strategy then looks at all of this and develops strategies and develops plans, be national, be local, be international, be regional, whatever. Now, what is important is how do you do that? Do you work in isolation in an office and that's it? And the answer is no. Health promotion is an interactive approach. You work with the community, and I use the word community as a generic term. If you work in the school, the community are the teachers, the administrators, the parents, the student, the surrounding community to the to the schools, and the same thing for universities. So you work, you develop those plans with those people. You want to empower those people to believe that that's their baby, that's their plan. So it's a very important concept. So the conceptual framework has basically three components. This component is integrated health education, which includes life skill training. And Amanda Bravo is going to speak at this in a little bit, the life skill training as a case study, what is being done in Colombia in particular. Then the environment is the setting, be the school, be the university. So if you teach here, for example, the health education, and you say, okay, you don't smoke. Okay, let's go to a better example, because now they're all smoke-free. No, let me use the example of smoking. Because I like that. How many of you work in the school setting? You do work well. A few years ago, I'm talking between Califano, Secretary Califano, when they start legislation in non-smoking spaces. But even between that time, I'm talking in the 70s to the 2000. We would say to the kids, okay, you cannot smoke, yeah, because it's bad for you and all of that. As soon as the bell rang, the teachers went to their sanctuary, you know, to the little room. And if you went there and opened the door, you couldn't see anybody because the smoke, everybody was smoking. In education sector, I had never seen so much. I would meet with some at the people. And So it's do as I say, not as I do. So the idea of this environment, I have an arrow to indicate this two-way street. You know, if you teach a kid not to smoke, you have to provide an environment free of smoke, and you want to be a model for that. And the third one, this component is the services, school health, for example, is the nurse and the physician, this whatever screening for whatever. And also in here we have healthy nutrition, which is also associated with the snacks in the school. And then the active life, to provide spaces for kids to play, to do exercise. And I won't be, some of the countries that I have visited, they have like a tennis court or whatever, a baseball court, and they have like an abysm on the side. So, I mean, the kids could just fall very easy. Okay, and all of this, and this is very important, is that this fourth component, what is the healthy public policies? Because we can have all the best intention to say, okay, no smoking or healthy food in the school environment. But unless it is an established policy to be monitored and evaluated, those good intentions don't take place. Okay, so, and that's what happened in this country, in our country. For when Joseph Califano did the legislation in smoking, and that was like a very baby steps at the time. But we are now 2009, and we're really smoke-free just basically everywhere. And finally, for this conceptual framework, the sustainable and human development is really the goal. Is that what we want to achieve? Well, what this was actually prepared then for the schools. And there is also an international movement which is called Help Promoting Universities. Any of you are at the university setting? Yeah. What has been very interesting is that the university were so enthused with this model that they asked me to say, okay, how do we go from school to university setting? So we presented this, and again, the university accepted, adopted and adapted to their environment. Of course, you know, the age here is not the children, the elementary or secondary school, but they are young adults. So the cohort population is a little bit different. So the project, the health education projects and the training had to be accommodated to that group. So based on that, what has been happening, and I wrote this in Spanish because really they have been mostly in Latin American. There has been the first meeting for Help Promoting Universities, which was done in 2003 in Chile, in Santiago de Chile. And in there, this model was presented, and it was accepted, adopted, and adapted. So then we went to the second meeting in Canada, in Edmonton, and again, it was strengthened, this concept, and in Edmonton, it was asked to start a network so people could really share these ideas and to also advocate for more universities to join. The third meeting happened in Ciudad Juarez, and Dr. Cerqueira was the promoter for that. And it was a great meeting because there were people from Spain, and they got so enthusiastic with this project that they ask, okay, let's do, instead of the network in Latin America for Help Promoting School, let's do the Ibero-American network at Help Promoting School. And everybody applauded and everybody agreed. So we, from 2007, we had that Ibero-American network. And Spain proposed to host the meeting in Spain, in Pamplona, which has happened in October of this year. And it was, I was there, and it was an incredible meeting. And but what it, you know, it's interesting human nature. You know, you advance and you do the steps, and because there were people from not only from Ibero-American country, but there were also people from England, Germany, and other countries. So they proposed less in addition to the network for Ibero-American health promoting universities. Let's do an international network of health promoting universities. So the next meeting for this Ibero-American Help Promoting University is going to be in Costa Rica. So if you're interested, you want to send me an email, I will be more than happy to keep you informed. It's probably going to be around September, October 2011. You know, it was not really defined, but I will assume that it will probably be 2011. So this is kind of a really evolving concept, and it's and I feel very very happy because the universities are really the center for not only implementing the health promotion at the university setting, but also to train people in this concept. So you're killing two birds with one stone because you train teachers, so teachers come out just know what is health promotion. And they will be trained to really appropriately implement those programs. So thank you very much. And Amanda follows. And Amanda will talk about life skill education. I don't know if you want to introduce her.